Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination number 235 on this May 22nd, 2008, and any time thereafter. This has been a great little week we had going here. I know this is a day late, not necessarily a dollar short here. We're entitling this the Family Time episode, and why would that be? Well, because that's the reason I took yesterday off. I sat there thinking about it. I had most of my research done from the past couple days. I was like, you know, I'm really sure I can just... do everything after everybody else goes to bed like I usually do. But you see, yesterday was a very special day, and here the Caffeination layer, here in the Caffeination lifestyle, yesterday was my 3-year wedding anniversary, and I decided to, you know what, I'm just going to unplug. I'm going to spend the time with my lovely wife. I'm going to enjoy her company. We're going to watch TV together, which I absolutely hate doing. I can't stand watching TV 9 times out of 10. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to be. So there's a little link up to an article I wrote about her and how I feel about the entire thing, because I don't want to drone on about it here, and it's honestly not what a lot of you are really interested in, but I still wanted to put it up there nonetheless. And it's over at my personal blog, so if you wanted, you can head on over to travelersmug.com and check that out. But this, of course, is the Caffeination Podcast. This is the high-octane world of tech and coffee and caffeine culture, and it's just everything all in one, you know? If you're looking for this episode and you happen to be listening it on some other channel, some other vibe, some other area in the interwebs, you too can head on over to www.caffeination.com, that's caffeination.com, and you will see a bevy of fantastical articles, and you'll see topics such as on today's show, we're going to be covering tea, coffee, innovation, the Wii Fit, soccer robots, and of course, zombies. Do you have a zombie plan? We'll be talking about that in just a little bit. Like I said, we have a great, great, great episode lined up for you today. I'm really happy about a lot of the content that we're pulling. We're going from different avenues, and first of all, I would like to thank one of our listeners, Daniel, for writing into me. Daniel kind of keyed me off to a website that had used an article that I wrote a little while ago on 5 tips for having coffee for company, and the site used the article, but they didn't link to anything. So I'm not sending a link up there, and I put it on Twitter just kind of like as a frustration thing, and I actually left a comment on their blog, and they did the right thing. They actually fixed where they got it from. They got it from ineedcoffee.com, which is a fantastic website. So I told them, you know, ineedcoffee.com, and they didn't even have my name as the author for the article, and that was more irritating than anything. They had source ineedcoffee, but there was no link or anything, so they now have the link going directly to I Need Coffee, where they got the text of the article. They now have a link to the Caffeination Podcast, as long as people know where they got the content, and hopefully, you know, if they enjoy it, they'll end up coming over and stopping by. You know, just want to kind of deal with the content that I got here, and thank Daniel very much for letting me know. If you see any of the other stuff out there, or if you have a comment, feedback, suggestion, or whatever else you'd like to send my way, please feel free to fire an email off to caffeination@gmail.com, or you could call into our listener line at 215-240-1319, or you can call Skype, and the Skype ID is The Caffeination. That's all one word. Alright, so we have a great episode lined up for you today. So we got Real News Bites, Tech Craft, and Caffeine and Food. Up first in Real News Bites, we're going to talk a little bit about the Wii. Now, we got the Wii for Christmas this year. It was a great present. We've been using it on and off, but here's the thing with the Wii. There's not very many games out there that use the controller correctly. And now this is a new problem. I gotta sort of explain just a little bit, and I don't know if there's anybody out there who's really gonna get this, because I don't know if a lot of people out there have the Wii. I know that. I don't know about how many people in the listenership of the Caffeination actually do. So let me just explain. For those of you who don't, it's a very, very interesting way that the controller mechanism works. It's not like any of the other video games out there. It's a lot to do with positioning. It's a lot to do with actually being active while you're playing, even though you could do it from sitting at your couch, you know, just kind of motioning with your wrist or stuff like that. You don't actually have to throw your arm at 90 miles an hour if you want to throw a fastball. You know, just a general brisk motion will do. But there's not very many games that make accurate use of not only the motion sensing technology, but also the actual form factor of the controller. And it's a hard thing to actually pinpoint. For instance, all the Nintendo games are relatively good at, you know, using the the form factor. I'm actually not really a big fan of the latest Mario Galaxy because I don't like the camera angles, and I don't like somehow the controller doesn't really work like it should. But however, stuff like Carnival Games and stuff like a lot of the Wii Sports, they're all dead on accurate with how they end up using the game. And recently there was an article that came out about hardcore gamers, and they did a little bit of a demographic search. Everybody's always looking for demographics, and they said, you know, most of the people, 79% of the Wii gamers are male. Most of them are older than 18 with an income of over $50,000 a year. And they all generally play video games for right around 5 hours a week. Now, that does describe a lot of the people that I know that actually own a Wii. And the other thing that they said, and that's that section of people who own consoles, if you were to kind of break down them versus a lot of the other consoles that are out there, that's a really high percentage of what would be considered avid, or as the article refers to them, as hardcore gamers. But here's the other thing that they're talking about in there. Here's the thing that makes the Wii special. They said 45% of the household members who play the Wii are actually female, and 38% are actually 25 or older. And so it's kind of interesting to see that, you know, what it is that it's a console that hardcore gamers are very into, that, you know, they really like the idea, so they're not actually reaching out to the general population through the initial sale. I'm pretty sure that when somebody says, hey, I'd really like to get a Wii, it's the fact that there's the backup, the fact that there's the other person in the house at that point in time says, you know what, that would be a good idea. Like, I have to admit to saying, it was a lot easier to convince my wife that, hey, you know, you want to get a Wii as opposed to, hey, you want to get an Xbox 360? Because there's no games in the Xbox that she really likes to play or anything. You know, we've played racing games periodically, and there used to be some other ones that we'd play, but, you know, we've actually played the Wii together, which is part of the, you know, the really cool thing about it. It's one of the things that I really enjoy about having it. So, that brings us kind of to our next story that I wanted to talk to you about here. It's a Wii Fit review. Now, I know that there's a lot of people who are throwing Wii Fit reviews out there. For Mother's Day, I actually bought my wife the Wii Fit because she was the one who wanted that game. And I got to tell you, I love her gaming so much that I really wanted to make sure I got it. So I pre-ordered it a while ago. And unfortunately, for everybody who's asked me and DM'd me and everything on Twitter, I have not seen a place you can buy them yet. They're kind of really hard to come by right now, and I did not know that. Here's the thing. My wife, we really have a lot of stuff going on during the week, and I stay up a lot later than her, so I get a lot of my stuff done after hours, I guess you could say. So she hasn't actually gotten to play it yet. It just came in the mail yesterday. So as soon as we start to play it, as soon as I see what, you know, how she's enjoying it, what everybody around here thinks of the actual Wii Fit, I'll let you know. And I'm going to, you know, post the full review up here on Caffeination, so you'll be able to see all the fun different intricacies of how it's used and everything. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there. I mean, I was going to link up to like 5 of the other ones that I saw, but I was like, you know what? I have one in the house right now. I'm not going to open it because it's not my present, but I'm sure as heck fire going to use it after the fact. But, you know, it's just kind of interesting, and I want to see how it works out. And I've heard a lot of really good things about it, so I just kind of wanted to wet the collective whistle there. And that's enough about the Wii, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people out there who really honestly don't care, and that's perfectly fine. We're just trying to cover the gamut of technology news and caffeine culture here on the show. I'm going to flip everything completely around on you right now, and we're going to talk a little bit about network security. Apparently the latest, I know it's a little bit of a jump from, you know, casual and versus hardcore gaming to network security, but there's a lot of focus right now on the different pieces of network security. Everybody knows that, you know, you have to have a firewall on your computer, you have to have up-to-date antivirus, you have to scan regularly for malware, programs that come in and cause some piece of malfeasance. And, you know, I just, you know, it's kind of interesting to see that the viruses and the worms and everything that are out there right now aren't necessarily focusing on PCs anymore. And I heard a little bit of a rumblings a little while ago, but they were actually going to start attacking printers. And this is very real and near and dear to my heart, because I run a computer lab at Temple where we have a lot of network printers, and most network printers actually have like a little web server running in them, and there's very few things you can actually do if you gain access to it, but there's enough that if you know how to operate it and you know how to break the code, I'm pretty sure you could do some sort of nefarious activity on them. And there's starting to be a rise in things that attack network devices, and we're talking about stuff like routers and printers and just anything that's on the network that's not necessarily a computer. So in most cases, these are considered dumb network devices. Now there's a new attack that's out right now, and of course it has a fun name associated with it. It's called Flashing, PH, of course, because that means it's awesome, or something. I don't understand why there's a PH prefix to everything. I don't know, my mind's kind of wandering off. Maybe it's the fact that I'm recording on a Thursday, who knows. Alright, but basically, the idea behind this is that one of the ways, or the actual only way, that you can upgrade the software that's on most routers out there is by doing something called a BIOS flash. Basically, you upload a completely new copy of the software that's already on the machine to the machine, you know, provided you have the proper admin access, and then it completely reinstalls the software and, you know, adds whatever fixes or plugs that they had added in, you know. And generally, sometimes it can actually upgrade services that your router is capable of doing. There's always ways of tweaking things. If you have certain kinds of routers, you can actually change them into different kinds of network devices slightly. I know that Linksys is actually very popular for doing this. You can install Linux on some of the routers that are out there and everything, so it's kind of interesting. However, the thing right now, the most prevalent issue right now is that there's a way for a person to gain unauthorized access to your machine and flash the BIOS on the network device. And this causes a different point of entry into your network. So basically, you're going to notice when this happens. It's not like, you know, you can get a virus on your computer and you don't know for 3 weeks, because all of a sudden your network settings changed, or all of a sudden things that used to work aren't working anymore. So there's different, you know, there's different sets of information as to why this would be out there. And it's not necessarily focusing on home people right now. It's more of a PDoS, so it's a permanent denial of service, that's basically out there to shut down different, you know, different nodes on the network to try and attack the really high-end network hardware that's out there. And it's kind of interesting to see how, you know, you see that the threats evolve as the software and the technology evolves to fight them. So this is just the newest thing that's out there. I have a link up there for the people who are really interested in this and just want to kind of check out a little bit more. It goes a little bit more into detail than what we actually talked about here. And I know I've talked about it before. I have a rather extensive background in archaeology and anthropology when you compare to most other computer geeks that are out there. So when I see something come across my desk that is this hard-hitting and this serious, I really need to pass it along. This is from archaeology.org. Now, this is a very high-end archaeology magazine that goes into a lot of the different new and interesting findings right now. And there's something very serious coming out right now. It's by an author by the name of Rene Friedman. This is Zombie Attacks at Hierochronopolis. And this is possibly the first recorded evidence of actual zombie attacks. And of course, it might be entirely tongue-in-cheek, one can never know, but they go through all of the evidence, and they're very, very painstakingly examining all of the different things, including links to different pictures of different hieroglyphs with decapitated bodies, obviously defeated zombies at this point. And it got me to thinking, you know, everybody has to have a zombie plan. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm not going to tell you the entirety of my zombie plan, because that kind of defeats the purpose, because if any of my listeners actually end up turning into zombies, then we have issues. So I'm just going to tell you the one thing that is kind of the linchpin for my zombie plan, and that's a tire iron. Because a tire iron's multiple things at once. First of all, it's a weapon because it's a large metal object. Second of all, it's a tool because it helps you change the tire in your car in case you get a flat or something like that. And third of all, it's also a pry bar so you can open up doors and things like that. So it's a very useful multi-tool. It's the Leatherman of large objects. So that's the linchpin of my zombie plan. And I've been posting on Twitter about this, and I know a couple other people have very, very specific zombie plans. And if I remember to do this in post-production, I'm actually going to link up to the Red versus Blue zombie plan, and I have the DVDs for the 5 years of Red versus Blue that's out there, and I came across it the other day, and then to find this very, very real and very hard-hitting article talking all about the different viruses that have possibly affected brains throughout history and created zombies, including the ways to defeat zombies. So, you know, if you'd like to know, there's the trowel technique for zombie eradication. There's the shovel technique. Then they go through the different disease vectors where things will actually go wrong. So it's really interesting and kind of funny to see scientists playing around like this. And I got to tell you, it's an older article. I don't know why I didn't see it before, but I had to post it up there. There's no way I couldn't at this point. It's really, really well done. So I just wanted to kind of put it out there. Also, if you poke around the website, they have different neat articles about Indiana Jones. Like they have a an article all about the Crystal Skull, which I really desperately want to see that movie. But they have articles on the Crystal Skull and the origins of it and the actual real archaeology behind it, and it's awesome. And they talk a little bit about the Golden Idol from the first Temple of Doom thing. And I'm not going to ruin the stuff, but you know, I just heartily suggest you head on over there if you're at all interested in Indiana Jones or Egyptology or other stuff like that. You just poke around archaeology.org, and it's well worth the time you spend there. And that about wraps it up here for the Real News Bites section. We got more in the Tech Cruft, more in the Caffeine and Food. We're motoring right along here. All right, in the Tech Cruft article, or rather section we have here, it's all just the different tiny little interesting one-off pieces that I find throughout the internet. You know, you always really wonder about things when you've been doing things a certain way for so many years. Like, everybody out there has a paintbrush that's sitting in their garage or their basement or whatever, and it always has that, you know, extra residue of crap paint stuck to it. Unless you're somebody like my father, who manages somehow to clean every brush that's in the house. I really don't know how he does it, but probably just attention to detail and things after the fact. But I've, for some reason, I always end up with that little white junk that lays up around the handle, and it's just the excess paint that you never can quite wash out. So I was amazed to look at this and realize, you know, this makes a little bit more sense. This is actually a brush with a hollow handle. Now, I don't know the actual quality of the brush, because I know some of the things with the synthetic bristles aren't necessarily as good as the things with the natural fiber bristles, because they don't paint as evenly, they don't hold the actual things that you're trying to paint, so they don't hold latex paint well, or oil-based paint well, or, you know, you could spend an entire podcast just talking about the merits of different brushes, but that's not what we're here to talk to you about today. Today, I want to talk to you about this interesting brush that is going to be that has the hollow handle for you to attach a hose to. Yeah, this is called an Easy Clean paintbrush. They run anywhere from $11 to $15, and they're for mostly outdoor use. So they're like the 3-inch wide or the 4-inch wide brushes. You actually screw it onto the end of your hose and run the water through it. And if you're having a water-based latex paint, it's probably significantly easier to clean the paintbrush if you already have the water running from the back end from an angle you can never really end up hitting. So it's just one of those things where the things have been done the same way for so long. It's just kind of impressive and at the same point in time refreshing to see a new way. So I just wanted to kind of pass that along. All right, moving right along. Another thing that was kind of done in a new way, and it's sort of in the realm of a couple other stories that we had out there, talking a little bit about Legos. Lego brick guns. How about that? Now, right now, there's a ordinance in place in most places out there where any toy gun that you create has to look completely and utterly unlike an actual toy gun because of incidents in which police officers mistake toy guns for real guns. So I don't know where these actually fall within this. However, there are now kits that you can buy for anywhere from $40 to $60 to actually recreate guns, non-firing versions. I think it would be a lot cooler if these things fired Lego bricks. But the entire gun is created from Legos. And you can, of course, just order a CD that has all the plans and instructions on it if you have a ton of Legos somewhere. But it's just kind of interesting to see the, you can get the MP5 out there, a Desert Eagle, a Glock 17 and 19, you know, just in case you know you're out there and you'd like to pop a cap in the posterior of the man, you know, you can use it with the brick gun, as I put on the website. Alright, let's see what else we got here. You know what? I gotta tell you, some of the advances in robotics that are out there right now are really mind-boggling. I mean, it's really insane to see some of the things that people are doing with robotics. We had the swarm activity. People are putting robots in all other kinds of places that you wouldn't normally expect them. First of all, the flying robots are insane just because you're looking at it and these things are free-flowing. They can go wherever the wind blows them, literally. Now, one area which I had always kind of wondered about, now, how about a robot that can climb walls? Well, there is one right now. It actually scales any building material, nearly any building material, using something called electroadhesion, which I don't know what that actually does, but it allows them to climb dusty buildings and all other kinds of interesting things. And there's a video over at the Jump. This is from Engadget.com, and it shows you the building, or the robot rather, climbing straight up a building, or straight up a brick walkway at this point. But well, that wouldn't necessarily be a walkway, I don't know, but As long as these things aren't armed yet, I'm all right with that. Now, you know, I am sort of resigned to the fact that all the different crazy robots that are coming out, that we're probably going to end up with the robotic overlords within the next 5 years, conservatively, so I'd like to stay on their good side at this point. You know, provided the zombies don't get us first. But, all right, moving right along. In this, so still staying in kind of the same vein of robots here, but apparently the U.S. RoboCup Open, which every year a bunch of robots get together to play soccer or football, depending on where you're listening to this podcast. And it's just interesting because there's now an actual realm of the RoboCup called Nano Soccer. Yes, these things are absolutely tiny. These are tiny little robots that are kicking around nano balls, literally. They are... Now, let's see. These things are operating on the field. The entire field is the size of a grain of rice. So I don't know how one constructs something quite that small. I'm amazed that people can write my name on a grain of rice, let alone create something absolutely so small and mechanized to the point where it can actually play a full game on a grain of rice. So it just seems kind of cool. And again, I don't know what to make of this, and it's incredibly over my head. So I just pass it along to the powers that be and hope that you enjoy it. All right, next thing that's up here. Now, these aren't necessarily robots, but these are the kind of advancements in science that really kind of make you take a step back and say, wow, the science is going to be able to do things in the next 5 years that are going to stun us. If you were to tell somebody, I don't know, if you were to tell somebody 5 years ago all the different things that you could do online or all the different advancements in science and everything that have happened, they would be stunned. You know, just in the realm of, let's just say, prosthesis alone, just the ability to give people back different fine motor skills. For instance, they have the prosthesis out there right now where all the person has to think about it, and their robotic arm can actually move as a real arm would have. I mean, that blows my mind. So when you're talking about tiny little advancements that happen over time, it's hard to sometimes pinpoint something that's going to be paradigm changing. But I'm going to do that for you right now. There is an article over at gizmag.com. It's a mini medical pump. So basically, these things are incredibly, incredibly tiny. Now, these look like tiny little envelopes. And what through some sort of system, you know, by introducing electricity to them in a certain pattern, they actually end up pumping either one way or the other, depending on the polarity of the electricity. So they use something called a lead zirconate titanate. I don't even know what that is. It's a fun little abbreviation of PZT. So it's two different films that are actually kind of sitting together, kind of like a look like a stick of gum wrapper. And then through the introduction of electromagnetic current, it actually ends up, you know, bubbling like you were trying to pass something through a piece of heat shrink tubing. If you've ever done that, it comes packed flat, so you end up with, you know, this flat roll of something. And then when you put the actual wire through it, it sort of bubbles up. And if you were to pull the wire all the way through, it would bubble back closed. That's the kind of idea here. Now, these things are so tiny that they're actually going to be able to sit in your body. So they'd be able to sit in a blood vessel, for instance, and introduce micro doses of medicine. So imagine that. Just extrapolate for 1 second, you know, way down the road here, and say somebody has some sort of heart condition that requires a very specific dosage of a medication. And the dosage will be fatal if given too much at one point in time. You don't want to allow the person to actually regulate the medication themselves. This would probably be fantastic for diabetics or something like that. But, you know, you would actually put like it could actually do things like just put a tiny little device in somebody that would administer this dosage to them in such micro doses that you'd be able to fine tune the controls. I could just see this tiny little advancement really spiraling and becoming one of the mainstays of medical technology in the future. So it's just really kind of awesome to see and to take a step back and look at it and go, man, that's going to be huge. You might not hear about this again. You might not ever, you know, take a step and say, oh yeah, you know, the micro pump that Paul talked about, you know, way back in May of 08. But, you know, it's going to be incorporated into other things or advancements that are like this. So it's just really, really awesome. And I like being able to pinpoint things, and hopefully I'll be right about that. Hopefully, you know, you'll start to see the advancements within the next 5 years. But hey, you never know, you know? All right, now the next thing, I get in trouble with my wife sometimes. Actually, not really trouble, but she finds it humorous sometimes in the things that I try and teach him. And we're sitting there watching a TV show one point in time, and there was a dinosaur on TV. And I love dinosaurs. I loved them ever since I was a little kid. And it was the dinosaur that looks kind of like a turtle. And they were talking about it, and it was on the, the Let's Go show on Sprout or something like that. And he's like, oh, look, it's a dinosaur that looks like a turtle. I'm like, Paul, don't listen to that guy. It's an ankylosaurus. And my wife looks at him and says, he didn't know that. You know, he's like, that daddy, he's a silly guy. And I'm looking at it and say, you know what? I'm not a silly guy. They're dumbing content down for kid. There is no reason that if a kid looks at a dinosaur and it looks like a swordfish, but a really long elongated snout, and it has teeth going the entire way, there's no reason that the kid shouldn't know that that's an ichthyosaur. It's not necessarily a swordfish or something like that. It's not an old swordfish. It's not a prehistoric swordfish. It has no relation to the actual swordfish. It's an ichthyosaur, damn it. All right. But, you know, it's... With that in mind, there's a recent thing that's coming out. It's called Nerdy Baby ABC Flashcards. Now, they only have A through O up there. I don't know why they actually have O twice, but there's a sampling of them up there. A is for atom, B is for binary code, C is for cell membrane, O is for oscillating current, H is for hydrogen bonding, G is for glaciation, I is for ichthyosaur, that's right, Z is for zoological oddity, M is for Mandelbrot fractal set. Now, I like the idea of this. I think this is awesome. They're only $20, and this is probably more for the parents, probably the nerdy dad or nerdy mom at this point. But, you know, I think maybe some of this content that's out there has been dumbed down to such a point where you're looking at it and going, you know what? My kid is smarter than this, and you need to give him a little bit more credit. And they're talking about, you know, you need to learn colors and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, okay, fine. Red, yellow, blue, that's all right. What about teal? I mean, just expand their horizons just a little bit beyond things. Just see if they pick it up. I mean, there's no problem with throwing information at kids. I just think it's awesome the stuff that he does pick up. So... And I'd like to just, I might end up getting them just to see if I could play around with Paul and, you know, the flashcards. See, come on, G is for glaciation. Just, you know, see if he picks up on it. All right, now the next little thing that we have here, the last little thing in the TechCraft section. I'm not going to talk too much about this because I need you to watch this. This is an animation. It's entirely done. It's a video on Vimeo. And it's called Mudo, a wall-painted animation, rather, by Blue. This is an insane animation. It's been sent to me by about 7 people. So all of you, thank you. I don't even have all of your names written down. But the idea behind this is basically somebody took a graffiti artist's mentality and, you know, painted something on a wall with white and black. Then they painted the next frame by painting over the first. You just keep going. This video is something like 6 minutes long, and I don't know how many photos they took, and it's just frame-by-frame animation, where they actually sat there and painted on the wall and on all of the different surfaces that they're doing this very insane, very obtuse, very intense piece of art that just went from one end of the city, the block, wherever they filmed this, from one end to the other. And it's just great, the things that they were able to do. So it reminds me at one point sort of like a Pink Floyd animation, sort of like a white zombie from Beavis and Butthead kind of thing. Sort of very, very off the deep end of the scale, but insane. You really have to check it out. And there's a link over at the show notes at caffeination.com. I highly recommend you do it because there's no way that I can adequately describe the awesomeness that is this animation. Everybody who I've showed this to, everybody who's seen this, has just taken this, you know, a step back and gone, whoa. Because it's that impressive. And it's impressive with not only the ingenuity and the intelligence in which they went about doing it, but the way they used some of the props and used some of the environmental factors as they're painting on walls or floors or whatever they're doing to actually incorporate into an effect what the actual graffiti is doing. So it's really, really intense. You have to check it out. That about wraps up the TechCraft section here. We have just enough time for your caffeine and food, then we will head you on out your way. I got to tell you, bacon is nature's wonder drug. Everything is better when you add bacon in it, including bathing. Well, how do you say? Well, I don't know if the actual video is going to show it, but there's a new story up there over at Instructables.com, where it's how to make bacon soap. Now, the basis for most soap, I don't know if you know this, is actually animal fat. That's the first kind of soap that was ever produced, and it's relatively easy to make your own soap. Well, why not make it out of bacon? Now, I don't know if you want to go around smelling like bacon, although I do know that there's a fun commercial out there right now where a woman puts a bacon chalupa or something in her purse and a bunch of guys attack her. I'm pretty sure that would actually work, just in case any of the female listeners out there are hunting marauding for flesh, as as they say on Scrubs. But I thought it was awesome that somebody actually put a tutorial on how to make your own bacon soap. And the funny thing is, they actually made the soap in the shape of bacon, which makes it even better. So not saying that I would necessarily use the actual bacon soap, although I would be tempted, but, you know, it's just one of those things I just wanted to pass along. All right, up next, this is all about a bunch of different design aspects that I've seen recently, things that are just made so much better because somebody took the extra second or three to actually think about it. How often have you tried to dig in the bottom of, like, a yogurt cup or something like that, and you have your spoon, but your spoon can't quite reach into the absolute corner because we're using cylindrical objects, or we're using cylindrical containers with rounded corners with completely circular, rounded, or ovular spoons, so they're relatively hard to get in there. Why not a spoon with a right-angled edge for the tip? Well, you too can own one for $4. Yeah, that's right, $4 for a spoon, or you could just probably grind down the tip of any normal spoon, probably not one of the ones that's in the set that was gifted to you for your wedding or anything like that. But, you know, hey, if you go to the dollar store, grab a spoon, and you have a grinder at home, you too can make your own $4 spoon for probably like 50 cents. So I just wanted to kind of put it out there. I mean, I like the idea, you know, really taking a step and, you know, making something different out of it. And then you take that concept and we move on to the next thing that we're going to talk about here. This is En Terraza, or To Go. This is from an artist called Laurent Corio, and it's insane. This is a product. This person's a product designer, and they're also a little bit of a, I don't know if they're necessarily an artist, but it's very artistic in the way that they actually showed the use of this. This is a transformable cup. So the idea behind it is that the saucer that the cup actually sits in, the coffee cup actually sits in, is also the lid. In the to-go lid, there's actually a tiny little slot that you could drink this on the go. And what they did is they kind of played two different elements off each other. So the people who are enjoying the coffee in Paris enjoy it one way, and the people who are enjoying it in New York City enjoy it another. And they say this is the kind of cup that could deal with both. So there's a video that's actually split screen right down the middle, and it shows you Paris on the one side and New York City on the other, and I'm pretty sure you'd be able to tell the different ways in which they're enjoyed. Not going to ruin too much for you. You owe it to yourself to head on over there. The links are obviously in the show notes, but I got to tell you, I really love this, and I've been enjoying espresso more and more, and I'm pretty sure that this is more along the size of an espresso serving and less along the size of your standard mug of coffee. If this is a coffee, this is a very small serving of coffee. But, you know, it's really kind of well done, and I just, my hat's off to the designer, and this is just a fantastic idea. And I actually hope to see more stuff like this that you can actually use beyond, you know, okay, that's just the lid for my coffee. No, that's also the, you know, the saucer or something else like that, that's also being used. You know, the dual-purpose things. That's just kind of cool, so I wanted to pass it along. All right, now the next to last thing we have here is, you know, you are really famous when two things happen. First of all, you have your own blend of tea. That's correct. Over at Adagio Teas, they've created a series of tea blends, all in reference to the people who are on the Dig Nation podcast. So Kevin Rose, Alex Albrecht, David Prager, and Glenn McClose. But it's just, I'm probably pronouncing Glenn's name wrong at this point, but I'm sorry. It's just really cool to see that they actually kind of they kind of played off the popularity of the Dig Nation podcast, which is insanely popular at this point. And they crafted different tea blends, and they kind of angled them towards the people. I know a lot of people out there are actually tea drinkers as well. And I got to tell you, I think this website, Adagio Teas, is actually done right. This is one of those things where there's a lot of value added to playing around on their site. For instance, I have another link to where they actually have a tea timer. It's a downloadable application for Windows that allows you to properly time the tea that you would buy from Adagio, time the steep time for the different tea. So it's really kind of awesome. I like that idea. I like a lot of the stuff that they have up there. So I just wanted to kind of focus on another aspect of the site that I think you might enjoy, and I wanted to hopefully put it out there. I like websites that are, on one hand, they are trying to sell you something, but on the other hand, they're also trying to increase your knowledge and increase the value of visiting the site. So, you know, my hat's off to them, and I hope you enjoy it. All right, that about wraps it up here for today's Caffeination. This, of course, has been Caffeination number 235. Yes, that's Caffeination 235. That is an insane number. That is huge. That is high. I don't even know what else to say, you know, but it's just great to be here this long. It's great to be in the game this long. So I really thank you from the bottom of my heart, all the people out there who have enjoyed this podcast throughout the years, literally. And, you know, this has been Caffeination number 235, the family time, the much delayed, but hopefully very much worth it. If you were looking for this podcast, you can find it over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Coincidentally enough, since this is, of course, the Caffeination Podcast. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network, and we are proud to be a Puzzle Piece production. So, with all of that being said, and with this next thing, thank you very much for listening to this, the Caffeination Podcast, and any of the other things that you contribute to the general conversation that is podcasting. Thanks, and stay caffeinated, people.